Guardians of the Geekery, Starzlord here with you, and this is pretty cool. We have a return guest. This time, it's author Darren Kennedy. If you might remember, the true Guardians of the Geekery fans, there's a few of you, and thank you for your support, especially through Patreon. Darren Kennedy was with us way back on episode 4 of Guardians of the Geekery. And anyway, he's a great author. Most of his books now are over on Audible, but also through Falstaff Books. So related to John Hartness there, publisher John Hartness of Falstaff Books. But really thrilled to have Darren back talking about not only all of his new novels and series and things in the works and being published, but also we dive in a little bit about him being a doctor, actually, and also his service in the armed forces for our country. So very cool episode. And just wanted to give you guys a quick update. If you ever wanted to meet any of the Guardians of the Geekery in the person, some of us were going to be out at Free Comic Book Day at Rebel Base Comics. That's on May 4th, Saturday, May 4th. And then the next week, May 11th, we're going back to Morris Costumes for the halfway to Halloween party. There'll be kids rides, food vendors, makeup artists, entertainers, costume props, and other folks selling their wares and those type of things. And also you can meet us and we'll have all kind of great stuff about the Geek Gala, Guardians of the Geekery, and of course the Charlotte Geek. So come on out and have a great time. Again, that's noon to 5 on May 11th for that one.
Podcast room of the Geek Gala HQ. There are assembled Charlotte, North Carolina's four okayest geeks, created by the cosmic legends of their own mind. Starnslord, the Giddy Geeker, Carol the Cat, Tipples Tannenbaum. Their mission, to support local, to discuss all things geek, and to serve all fankind. They are the Guardians of the Geekery, the official podcast of the Charlotte Geeks.
Okay, we're recording. It's for real.
It's for real.
For real.
Everybody be quiet now since we're recording. So.
Okay. If you hear a slight hum in the background, the fan is on, but we're not turning it off for you.
We're all roast otherwise, so.
You're not worth roasting for, audience.
We love nope. You, but no. Hey, we have a guest.
That's right. We're not alone.
I know. I like you posted that we were lonely. So we called Dr. Darren, and he's in the house.
Chess master. House call. Look out.
House call.
You thought you were our biggest fan, but actually the biggest fan is the one that's causing the humming in the background. That's
right. Oh. So, Darren, it's been a minute since you've been on the show.
I think I was on the show 400,000 years ago, within the first 2 or 3 months of it starting.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. You were one of our first guests.
Wow.
So I remember it was not even the Death Star that we're in right now had not even been built then.
I know, we were living in a different house. We also didn't have all the fancy stuff we have now.
I don't even think you were married.
We weren't even married.
Oh my God!
You was living in sin. You was living in sin
with a safety pin.
That's right.
Cleveland Rocks. Oh wait, that's a different show.
Very nice.
All right, but hey, so you've written a few books since then.
A few.
You've completed the trilogy, correct?
Yes. So I've completed the Fugue and Fable trilogy. That was the one where I decided it would be a great idea to take all of Russian classical music and turn it into a psychic dreamscape murder mystery.
Yes.
Like you do.
It was actually a very good idea. Yeah. It was a very good idea indeed.
Yeah.
And I found out today that I have finally cut the last tie with the previous publisher, and Audible is going to be writing a contract directly to me, cutting out the original publisher who won't answer their emails either. And they won't answer my emails. And so now me and Otto will be just chatting directly with each other. And I hope that means that I can get them to pick up the third book. So I'm very excited.
Oh, great.
That's awesome.
Just got that email at lunch today.
So the first one was Mussorgsky's Riddle.
Yeah, the first one was the Mussorgsky Riddle, which is based on pictures at an exhibition with a little bit of Rimsky-Korsakov because I had to turn the main character into Scheherazade. The second one was the Stravinsky Intrigue, where I took the first three ballets by Igor Stravinsky. And those are The Firebird, Petrushka, and The Rite of Spring, and turned them into a sort of a three-way story. And then I finished it off with the Tchaikovsky finale, where I took the only three ballets Tchaikovsky ever wrote, which, how is it possible that this dude only wrote three ballets, and they are literally Swan Lake, The Nutcracker, and Sleeping Beauty? And I'm like, oh, nobody's ever heard of any of those stories before.
No.
Wow. I was like, pretty good success rate there, Piotr. And
he quit while he's ahead. He's like, I'm just going to do the best. And like, goodbye. Yeah.
And I'm going to quit. And he had a few other decent songs as well.
Look for him on iTunes.
Top 40s. Yeah.
So hopefully we can get Tchaikovsky and Audible, because, and I desperately... I always give a shout out to the audiobook narrator, Elizabeth Evans, who did my first two books, because this lady is fantastic. Oh. She, like, I have people with British, French, Russian, Jewish, Wicked Witch of the West, all these different accents in the first book, and she does all the men and the women to where they sound like men and women, and does all the accents right. And I was like, how in the world did I find somebody this good on my very first audiobook? It was pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Wow. So you just looked on Fiverr and found her, or what was
it? No. I put up a sign at the local Starbucks. No, she's an actress in New York. No, the nice thing is, the good thing that the previous publisher did is they got me into Audible, and then once Audible takes over, they just go out to their stable of voice actors and say, who wants to narrate this book? And and she would communicate with me by email and phone. She'd be like, she'd call me and say, how do I say this person's name? And I would be like, say it like this. She'd go, okay. And she'd hang up and she'd go do it. And I was that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's good. You can kind of be part of it and produce it a little bit. So
just enough to get it right.
Right.
It was pretty cool.
Do they get you? So I'm curious, when you have a book like that, do you get to listen to the, I guess, a draft version and make any critique, or is it kind of you signed your life away with this Audible book?
I think it depends. For instance, John Hartness with all the Falstaff books, I think that he can listen to them, and if he doesn't like what's going on, he can do it with me, because it's sort of Darren talks to publisher talks to Audible, Audible talks to voice narrator. That if it had come back and it had just been awful, I think I could have said, this is not good. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. But I was so pleased. I mean, I was astoundingly pleased. And so I actually had nothing much to say other than thank you, God, for bringing Elizabeth Evans into my life.
No, and that's always a good option. It's always great when you hit it right the first time.
We got it right the first time.
So you've done these three.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
So I also have, in 2015, Falstaff published Pawn's Gambit, which was the first pawn stratagem book, which is my trilogy about people turning into the chess pieces in a magical chess game to decide the fate of the earth. The first book is I gather the pieces. The second book is I scatter them and make them all get back together. And the third book is going to be the big fight. Second book's done and is on Melissa's desk to be edited. And we're just waiting.
That would be author. And editor.
Author and editor.
Melissa Gilbert. And not to be confused with the Little House on the Prairie actress.
Oh. Author, editor, and all-around awesome human being.
Yes. She is. She is my friend. Yes. I can say that. She's all of our friends. I don't think any of us would say she's not our friend.
She is awesome. And
and also Geek Gala performer.
And yes.
Now a thing.
And also my...
so is Darren, too. Yeah.
And co-cover designer with Natanya Barron. She's getting my hardcovers ready for the Fugue and Fable books so that I can release them all in hardcover.
Ooh.
And then one thing that's, I guess it's not all that secret, I actually have become Facebook friends with Igor Stravinsky's great-granddaughter. And so the master plan is to, and I've already communicated with her, and she's really eager to read books based on the works of her great-granddad. And so as soon as I have hardbacks, and she lives in Switzerland, I'm pretty sure. And so I'm looking very forward to packaging up three hardbound books. I've never had a hardbound book of anything I've written other than a couple short story anthologies, and sending them to the great-granddaughter of the person who was my inspiration. I can't wait to see what she thinks about that.
I think one of the things that's so much fun for me is when we first met and I first started the Charlotte Geeks, and we first started that first writers group. One day I was cleaning up the Geek Gala room, and I actually found the survey that I had everybody fill out for the writer's group to see if it was something that we were going to pursue. And you actually wrote down, like, your one of your goals was to get my book published. And now it's not just one. It's four, with a fifth one in the can and a sixth one planned.
On the way.
Plus, I still have the copy of the chess magazine where you had...
I still love that story.
Story, yeah. Oh, that was awesome. But yeah, I remember when we first met, and you're like, well, who's your agent? And I'm like, I don't have one yet. I'm not at that point.
I'm working on it, man.
Now you're like so far ahead of me, and I'm still struggling with my first... Well, I'm almost finished with the comic book, but I was just like, I knew him when, and now I know him now.
You still know me.
I know.
I would say we're still in the when.
Oh, no. No, because, you know, can we tell him, Carol? I mean, like, oftentimes we get books from authors at conventions, and we're like, and they give it to us for free, and we still want to give it back. It's not always, but every once in a while. Always, yes. But, and then, you know, there's certainly a fear ratio, right? Mm. I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast before, that when Starnes Lord had told me that he had written several comic books, and I was really starting to like this dude, I was like, oh, I'd love to read them. And then a part of me is like, what do I do if they're crappy? I don't know what to do. But they were good. So yay. Phew.
And I was just excited you read them because my ex had never read them.
Which blew my mind. How can you have
Yeah.
And which sidebar on that, but like, you know, Harkness has said that his wife, Susie, has not read all of his books, but she read the first ones. It's just not her genre type. Yeah. And so that's different.
He's got a whole catalog, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough to keep up.
It's hard for anybody to read all of John Harkness' books.
Stop long enough for me to do that?
But I would say if your spouse is a chef, you don't have to eat at the restaurant every single night, but you should sample a few of their dishes. And you're like, I don't even know if their cooking is good or not. Goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing.
Check this out. I went on a first date last week, and it was 3 hours long, and at the end of it, she didn't know that I was a writer.
Whoa.
This actually happened.
You guys were making out the whole time, or what?
No
kiss and tell. That was not the reason. Okay.
No.
Is there a second date planned?
No.
See, that's the thing. But the point I was going to make is that when Carol finished it first, before I had a chance to, and she said, I really like it. I really, really like it. And we were like, yay, we really like her book. So that was awesome. Your book.
Darren's book. Mine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I wasn't sure if we were still kind of the comments.
No.
I'm sure they were awesome.
No, I was circling back, saying that was I do get sidetracked, but I did come back this time.
Yeah, you came back to it.
I don't know. It was sooner than people expected, so it was confusing. But no, we were so glad that it was...
Not bad?
No, that it was good. That it was good. It wasn't even bad. It was very good.
It was excellent, actually. And I dealt with so many writers during the con circuit, and I collect so many books because I want the writers to feel like they should be there. And I bought all three of yours, like, sight unread, because I was like, no, I know Darren. He's good. So I bought all three. And I was just like, wow, these are really excellent.
That's such a nice thing to
say. Yeah, and sometimes it's hard when you've bought somebody else's book, and they come up and they're like, did you like it? That's a book.
There's a great cartoon that I saw in the New Yorker, and it's this author talking to an editor, an agent. He goes, I really liked all the words that you used. I just think you should put them in a completely different order.
Exactly. Exactly. No, can I be proud of you? Because I totally am.
Prepare for proudness.
No, I mean, let's be honest. You have a very demanding full-time job.
Excuse me.
Oh, really?
You are a doctor.
I just tried to breathe water, and I do not, in fact, have gills.
A doctor.
Medically not proven. Stop testing. I mean, you have pursued this hardcore and maintained an a full-time position that is demanding and stressful. You have traveled the globe because I've seen the pictures on Facebook. you know, you've done so much, and the topic that you were covering was stop. Carol. Are you okay?
I thought Darren burped, sorry, but then I was like, no, I came from over here.
Sorry, I'm trying really hard right now not to sneeze.
So she burped and she sneezed.
We'll edit that out.
I know. How do you like that step on your cred? No, but I don't know. It's just, I am so in awe of what you have done for yourself.
That is very kind. Thank you.
And also, you know, I mean, we were at AspieCon, and you did well. You sold a lot.
I love those kids.
I know.
can I tell an AspieCon story?
Please. Yeah.
So AspieCon, this is something that everybody should support. One of the local psychiatry organizations in Charlotte has started a one-day, approximately 6 to 7 hour convention with lots of cosplayers and stuff. But it's based for both children and adults who are on the autism spectrum. So it's sensory appropriate, and I think they include me because A, I asked, but B, because my main character of the Fugue and Fable books is sort of on the spectrum himself, and everyone that does that event, from both the organizers to the people that attend, are so gracious. But my favorite person that I talked to was this young man who comes over to me, and he recognized that everything was classical music. And he goes, I love classical music. And I was like, that's excellent. He goes, do you know what my favorite piece is? I said, no. He goes, Ravel's Bolero. And I was like, oh my gosh, did you know that Ravel's Bolero is playing in Charlotte with the symphony in May? And he goes, I must go to that. And then I tried to hum it for him. I was like, da, 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 da. And he goes, and he pulls up a hand and, like, quiets me. And I'm like, what? He goes, there's two rules about music club. And I said, well, what are they? And the first one is, don't talk about music club. And I said, okay. He goes, the second one is, don't hum Bolero unless you have perfect pitch. And I was like,
oh, I love that. I was like,
that's a very good rule.
And then he goes, I have perfect pitch. And I was like, excellent. He goes, do you want me to prove to you that I have perfect pitch? And I was like, go for it. And he was like, no, that's okay. And then he walked off. I was like, what an interesting conversation. But that was, it was so cool. It was like, I love music. You love music. Let's chat about it. And it was just, that's the kind of cool stuff you get to do at that event, because everybody's just so enthusiastic about the things that they love.
And not only, so we love AspieCon, and this was our second year there, their third year doing it, and we've had them on the podcast as well. So if you want to hear even more about AspieCon, just go back a couple episodes and you can hear about it, and it will be happening again next year, so make your plans now. It's a combination resource fair as well as a convention, so it's for anybody who feels that they may be on the spectrum or supporting somebody on the spectrum to be able to go and know what resources are available. So that's awesome. But on top of your love of music, you're also a erstwhile musician as well, and have won the Geek Gala Geeks Got Talent show for writing a song that still makes me cry.
Right.
I don't know. I'm fangirling.
The first year or the second year?
Second year.
It was the second year.
I attended the first year, and I was like, I want to do that. So I went the second year and said, I'll bring my song next year.
Yeah.
Oh.
I have a song that I'm working on for doing it again, but literally I just can't seem. This has been years going on.
Is it the Aquaman one?
It's the Aquaman's Lament. It's fun, but I just can't make it all gel together. I've got half of it done, and the other half just won't come. And I've been working on books.
You can write three books, but you can't write one song.
It's a different skill set.
It is. True. Yeah,
it took me like 3 years to write Lois Lane Lenses. It's just songs are hard for me because if it's not the right line, it's just not the right line. You know. It's just a different skill set.
Lois, like you even saying Lois Lane Lenses makes me want to cry. Can we be honest?
Please. Let's play it now.
Commercials. I do. I have it. It's on the YouTube.
Commercials want to make you cry.
Well, yeah, but they're good. No. But Lois Lane's Lens is about, you know, here's this girl looking at this guy, and she's just like Clark Kent and Superman, she can't tell the difference. Although, have you seen that Zoe Deschanel picture side by side? Have you seen this?
Right. But The Clark Kent thing. So I love the show Supergirl that's on right now, the CW Supergirl. I don't know that anybody could play Supergirl better than her, but whenever they literally have Kara standing in the newsroom and they have 20 different TV screens with Supergirl with their face up, with her face up on the screen behind her, and I'm like, y'all are a news organization and y'all are about as observant as that piece of wood over there. And then I'm like, and if Facebook is not tagging her every single time, like here's a picture of Supergirl. Right. Do you want to tag Kara Danvers? I'm like, how is this not happening? So
it's weird. I'm putting up pictures of Supergirl. Constantly wants to tag you. It's almost like you're John Hartman as a Matt Starnes.
We are the still same happening. Person.
The only difference is the purple hair.
It doesn't matter. It's not Facebook keeps wanting to tag John Hartness as Matt. In fact, it tagged some Matt's friend posted a picture of Matt.
Did it that way, yeah.
And it tagged it. And John was like, LOL. And I'm like, what happened? And then I was like, oh my God, it says John Hartness.
And they weren't friends. That was so crazy. It was just, we recognize this. It's like,
well, Facebook thinks they're the same. Actually, I've never seen them in the same room together. So
we actually did have dinner after Charlotte Comic Con, and that I had this there. Whole little. I know. I had this whole little.
Was there a breach in the space time continuum?
No. But I had this whole little bit where I was like, "Well, actually, what happened was John Hartness had a pimple, and that pimple popped and grew a little bit, and then it was a second head, and that was me. And then I sprang out, and I'm this fully formed person, but I'm really originally part of John Hartness.
So John Hartness is Zeus."
And you're Athena. Oh my God. Okay, y'all. Carol and I both just pulled the Athena myth out of the back of our brain at the exact same time.
While Matt popped it out of John Hartness's face. So
coming from a story about a pimple on John Hartness. That's so sad.
We should have saved this for the Patreon listeners. Damn it.
I would have to say that story was hardcore.
Oh, no.
If you thought that we were going to do this whole thing without at least one pun, you were sorely mistaken.
I never had that illusion, Darren.
No illusions of grandeur. We don't have class. But speaking of class, you went to the opera, the symphony.
Yes.
And it was Star Wars, right?
This was awesome. One of the things that I'm really enjoying that symphonies are doing these days is and a lot of times they're John Williams compositions, but in the
what isn't?
Well, he's done pretty much every movie except for Braveheart, and right,
Danny Elfman. No, if it's not John Williams, it's Danny Elfman.
James Horner did. Yes, James Horner.
It's pretty much all James Horner, Danny Elfman, John Williams, and then the newer guy who does a lot of the.
He has like a French name.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, trying to think.
Hans Zimmer.
Yeah, it's more of a German name. German name. Yeah, Hans.
Really close to French, though. Right.
They're right next.
They are connected.
but
one just, invaded the other one. But anyway,
I was going to say that, but okay. I did. So in the last 3 months, I actually went and saw the Charlotte Symphony over at Ovens Auditorium do Harry Potter second movie with the Charlotte Symphony playing the John Williams soundtrack, and then just this past weekend, I saw them do the original Star Wars, though it was the updated version with all the unnecessary special effects from the 1990s, which I was kind of grr. But and especially like skinny Jabba, I'm like, no, thank you. But seeing that sometimes the music just blends back into the background, and you're like, you don't even remember that the orchestra's playing. But then every once in a while, dun dun dun, and you're like, holy cow, the trumpets just like come out of nowhere, and you're just like, I'm watching this done. Live. Empire Strikes Back is in March of next year, and Raiders of the Lost Ark is in Brevard, North Carolina on July 20th. I'm going to both. Please come join me.
I might take you up on that. Seriously. I love those scores.
The first tape I ever owned was the Raiders of the Lost Ark soundtrack, and I've been able to direct the whole thing since I was, I think, 11 years old. Wow. And my dream has been to see a symphony play me the entire Raiders of the Lost Ark movie since I was like wee. So I'm going to be there with bells on. So anybody out there in podcast land who's like, got to go do it, Darren's going to be in Brevard on July 20th of 2019.
All right.
Raiders, be there.
I now see you wearing the Indiana Jones outfit.
The fedora.
The fedora and the jacket and the khakis.
The bullwhip,
I think if I try to walk in there with a bullwhip, they're going to, like, arrest me or something.
Probably.
Just put an orange tab on the end of it.
Just peace tie it.
That's right.
Just peace tie the whip. They're like, that's just there to make it hurt worse whenever you hit.
Just take some floss, Darren. Just have a little thing of floss.
So where can people see you next? And where can they find your books?
Oh, let's see. The next few months, I will be at JordanCon in Atlanta at the end of April. Then the thing after that, I will be at Con Carolinas here in Charlotte at the end of May/beginning of June. Then I'll be at Raleigh, used to be SuperCon, now it's GalaxyCon, with a slew of awesome authors. Right in the middle of July, then at the middle of June, and then right at the end of June, beginning of July, I will be at Congregate up in High Point, and so I'll have books and everything there, and hopefully hardcovers by then. So if you want a hardcover edition, I'll be happy to get one of those. They only cost $400 million, so I can retire. I mean, just kidding. And let's see.
And then need to sell one bundle, Darren. You're done, right? That's right.
And then where can you get books all the time? I'm easily findable on Amazon, or you can go. And since I left my original publisher, all my books are now published, for now at least, by Falstaff Books. And so you can go to the Falstaff Books website and see not only my books, but the books by all the different fantastic authors in our stable.
Great.
And just so that people know, Darren Kennedy, Darren is D-A-R-I-N, slightly different than others may think it is, but Kennedy is spelled Kennedy.
Kennedy is spelled Kennedy. The best one is I've had my name not misspelled, but incorrectly spelled so many different ways. But the other day at Starbucks, I was D-A-R-Y-N, and I was like, cool, I get to be in my own fantasy novel.
Doreen.
When I was DJ Melody, when I wanted to be in World of Warcraft, I just added an N, Melodin. You just add a Y and N to the end of your name, and you could be Tiffinin. That works.
My dream is now fulfilled.
Carolyn.
That's just normal.
Do I just leave it at Darren, or do I become Darrenin?
Darrenin.
I think you have to be Darrenin. I think you have to have or Durnin, and then Methuen. You'd be Methuen.
No.
Do you think that this was a game that Roger Federer's parents were playing, but they were like, you just add the ER, and they were
Federer.
And they're like, let's add an extra ER.
He looks kind of Federer. No, I think he's Federer than that.
Yeah.
Brett Favre. More Federer.
I've been watching a lot of videos by this comedian named Drew Lynch, who was on Last Comic Standing and some other things. But when he was in his 20s, he was hit in the head with a softball, and now he has a stutter. And when he got heckled, and somebody was saying, oh yeah, take a banana, and he can't, that's one of the stuttering words he can't say, is, so he's like, screw you.
could you cure that, Darren? What do you think?
Could I cure that?
The stuttering from the softball?
I would refer him to speech therapy.
Yeah,
good answer.
It's kind of his thing now. It's kind of like, you wouldn't want to fix Freddie Mercury's teeth. I mean, that's how he could make those sounds. So.
And Bob Newhart, I mean, he made a whole life of stuttering and those kind of awkward pauses and stuff like that. So.
I have a slight stutter. It's not the same. I don't stutter over vowels. I stutter over words. And so that's why sometimes Carol and Matt try to finish my sentences because my mouth won't open. I'm like, no, I'm getting it. Just give me a second. So it's okay.
Usually, I only stutter whenever my brain gets ahead of my mouth.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Which is about daily.
So. Or I'll forget to finish thoughts. So
yeah.
Well, finished it up here. I'm so just going to not say it.
Well, and the worst part is that Carol and I traveled enough together that sometimes we don't have to say the whole thing. And you're like, did you? Yeah. Okay. And then Wanda's just sitting there going,
What happened?
Words were missing there. Could you finish them? So, Darren, tell us anything else. What are other things you want us to know about you that we have not asked you yet?
And what's it like being a medicine man? Can you tell us a little bit about your shaman ways?
That's immigrant.
my shamanism. When I'm not writing books or doing cons, I mean, my day job is I am on the family medicine. Blah, can't talk today. Family medicine faculty here in Charlotte for the family medicine residency. So I spend about 80% of my time seeing my panel of patients and taking care of anything from well child checks to diabetes to, you know, acute colds to doing minor surgical procedures, things like that. And then about 20% of the time I am teaching residents and training the next generation of family medicine docs to be the people that take care of the front line of medicine. You know, I always tell people family medicine is all about being the quarterback. You have to know when to throw the ball to a specialist or when to run it into the end zone yourself.
And
that's probably the most important skill. And knowing what you know and knowing what you don't know.
Yes, and knowing when you need to ask for help.
Yep.
That's important.
Could you take this bunion off real quick? When I,
honey, a bunion's not on the back of your shoulder.
He literally asked me to remove a toe growth from his shoulder.
Well, that's where it sprang forth from John Hartman. So
unless he has Quato from the original Total Recall movie, like growing out of his torso somehow.
Dude, do I have that? That'd be awesome.
I don't know, Joey. Does he have that? No.
Well, you know, I am sleeping on the couch now. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh.
Yeah, it's for health reasons.
Bunions are, in fact, on the feet, and I send those to podiatry.
You are good.
You're amazing.
I've only been doing this since 1997.
Yeah, and you actually served in the armed forces doing medicine for a number of years.
Yes. Thank you, all you fine taxpayers out there. You paid for my college and medical school, and then I paid you back by being in the Army for 8 years and going to Iraq in 2003. And I actually was on the residency faculty in the Army, too, from 2004 to 2008 down in Fort Benning, Georgia. And then when I got done with that, I was like, I think I'll move back to North Carolina and keep doing what I'm doing, keep teaching residents, keep seeing patients. Keep writing books.
It's awesome. Great. He is the true Renaissance man.
Yes.
And classical music to boot. So check out his two trilogies. One
is done and one is on the way.
Yeah. So Fugue and Fables and then
the Pawn's Stratagem.
Pawn's Gambit is
Pawn's
the first.
Gambit. And the next book will be called Queen's Peril.
Ooh.
Coming out soon.
Coming out soon.
Darren, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun. Look forward to coming back sooner this time.
Yes. Yes. You know, all you have to do is say, Joey, we have a new book out or whatever. And
I'll do it.
It's Wednesday on board.
I'm sorry I'm so quiet.
All right. Well, thank you, Darren. Check him out on Falstaff Books. Darren Kennedy, author, musician, physician extraordinaire.
But seriously, look at this bunion. Okay.
You've been listening to Guardians of the Geekery. Find us on the web at guardiansofthegeekery.com and everywhere fine podcasts are found. Support the Charlotte Geeks at patreon.com/charlottegeeks. Tune in next time for another exciting adventure on Guardians of the Geekery.